Hello, and welcome to another edition of the 13th Hour Podcast. And this is your host, Joshua Plum. This is episode number 56. Excuse the birds in the background recording this outside. There might be some kind of squabble there. But so today by the time you listen to this, it will be Labor Day, at least in the United States. And so today is slightly centered on that. I'm going to be reading from a few selections of the book, The 13th Hour. And this one goes out to all the people working those jobs that keep the world running in various ways, but generally don't get much public accord. There's tons of them out there. We've all done some of them, probably. Generally, they're things that operate behind the sidelines, and they generally don't pay very well, and they're not necessarily in the highest demand, but they're the things that keep the, businesses and companies and offices running smoothly. Things like the front desk staff and the people that take out garbage and sweep the floors and clean the coffee machines and clean up our messes and all that kind of stuff. They're the people that take care of our children and the people that take care of pets and clean toilets and, clean sinks and all the kind of stuff that needs to happen in order for the world to continue moving. And you definitely notice when those folks are not around, but they're, they operate kind of behind the scenery many times. And obviously, if you live in a house or an apartment, you have to do a lot of those things yourself. Wash the dishes, put things away, clean up, vacuum, sweep, take out the garbage, all that kind of stuff, but happens on a much larger scale in a community. So obviously Labor Day is for everybody, but I think those folks don't necessarily get as much of the recognition as they should. So this is a little section from the book, The 13th Hour, and in the book, there's two main characters, Logan and Aurora, and this is towards the end of the book, and Aurora is, they're sort of stalling for time, basically, and Logan is a soldier in his kingdom's imperial army, and he gets stuck with this lousy sort of gig. It's sort of kind of a punishment. It's a nighttime guard duty type of thing, and so he has to work a night shift. And if any of you have worked night shifts before, they're usually not in high demand, although I have to say, having done that for a while in the past, there's a certain kind of peace and quiet that comes with the night. You don't necessarily have people watching over you and so forth. So there's some positives to it, but he gets stuck with this nighttime guard duty shift, and his significant other, Aurora, tries to find a job in town, and she finds a job as a dishwasher in a local inn. And so at this point, they try to meet each day and around the time before they go on. So Logan is works overnight, basically, and Aurora, she works not quite overnight, but I guess it would be considered sort of a second shift kind of job, sort of late in the evening till the early morning, the sort of thing that would be, coming on at like 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock and then probably getting off at like, 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever the, wherever the work is done, whenever people leave the inn and the food has been served and cleaned up and et cetera. So at this, they're having this conversation, and so we'll pick up there. And at this point, Logan and Aurora are talking about their plans for the future, and Logan is gathering all these different books from the castle library. And it's in preparation for making a life together. So he's finding books on how to make a house and how to hunt and fish and do all these different things that he thinks that they'll need to know in order to make a life wherever they land. So they don't quite know that yet. And they find that out later, but at this point in the book, they don't quite know. So he happens to have a book about knitting clothes in his pocket, and he starts talking to Aurora about it. And she picks it up and looks through it, and she says, "Nope. Don't remember a thing about knitting, unfortunately," said Aurora, knocking me out of my reverie. Just then, a waitress with a sour expression on her face brought over 2 bowls of stew, 2 glasses of water, and a hunk of bread. Aurora invited her to sit down with us while she ate, or rather while we ate, and the woman's annoyed expression brightened for a moment as she welcomed the opportunity to avoid work for a few more minutes. She poured herself a pint of ale from the tap behind her and it collapsed heavily onto the booth next to Aurora. Aurora noticed me, introduced me to the waitress, who said, "Oh, so you're Logan. Aurora mentioned someone like you." Her eyes came to rest on the book on knitting. "You're reading this?" Aurora smiled and nodded. "Well, what the hell for? You work for a living now. Why do you want to go back to this garbage?" "They got stores for this, you know." I noticed that the waitress had repositioned herself toward Aurora in the manner that women did when they wanted to create a third wheel.
I just thought it was interesting,
said Aurora.
"Ha!
That's gotta be the overstatement of the year," said the waitress. "More like the most uninteresting thing ever. What the hell's it good for?"
"Well, you'll always be able to make clothes if you can knit," I reasoned.
As the waitress shifted back to look at me, her eyes narrowed to slits. They said, "I didn't ask you." But her mouth said, "You know, I once had a husband who said that to me, and look where it got him."
"Huh."
She gave Aurora a stern, teacherly kind of look as she got up to go. "Get rid of this guy now," it seemed to say. Aurora looked embarrassed, but shrugged it off. "Sorry, she's like that to everyone at first." Just then, a door at the back of the room swung open, and a deep voice yelled,
"Aurora, where the hell are you? We're opening in 5 minutes. Look at all these dishes. There are no end to these."
And the yelling trailed away as the door swung shut.
I guess I gotta go, Logan. Sorry.
She tossed her hands up a little as she stood and dropped her napkin onto the table.
"That's all right, Aurora. Tomorrow at the gym, then?"
"Sure,
Aurora, did you hear me? Damn it, get your ass in here," yelled a voice from the back again.
Aurora rolled her eyes and sighed.
"Yeah, I'll be there in just a minute," she yelled over her back.
I helped her gather the dirty dishes.
"Thanks, I got it," she said. "No, damn it, do I have to come out there?"
"Jeez, go on before that guy busts a vein or something," I said. She kissed me quickly, then ran back through the swinging door. In her hurry, she forgot one of the bowls, which I scooped up and placed on a tray of other dirty dishes. The waitress that had sat with us happened to look over and gave me a dirty look as I walked out.
"No tip again," she muttered. "Bastard."
I heard her, but did not understand. Since I had never been able to afford restaurants before, I was still pretty new to eating in one. Perhaps there was some unspoken custom I was not aware of, probably involving money or work, the things adults typically complained of, and my general ignorance about both was probably what had incurred the waitress's wrath to begin with. And so the scene then shifts to Aurora's her own personal thoughts. The door to my room creaked as I pushed it open. It creaked when it swung back to, but I didn't bother to check it if it latched shut or not, because all I remember seeing was my bed and flopping down on it. I vaguely remember thinking I should take my boots off or change out of my wet apron, but it seemed to take too much effort. I lay face down on the bed, listening to my breathing, letting the tensions begin to seep out of my muscles. The back of my head throbbed where the cook had hit me with a long wooden spoon. Some of the soapy water from the sink where I was stationed had spilled on the floor. The cook had removed a big tureen of soup from the fire and had been ambling toward the door when he slid on the soapy water, dropped the tureen, scalding himself on the hot liquid and screaming bloody murder.
"Stupid girl, how many times have I told you to clean up your mess?"
Then he scooped up the soup stirring spoon off the floor and wham! I dropped the dish I was drying, sending little porcelain bits all over the place, which made it even more livid and earned me another whack and a scolding from the manager as well. I didn't have much luck with jobs. Maybe it was in my fate. The Dreamweaver had never given us a straight answer on what was fate and what wasn't, and whether we made our destiny or simply lived it. But, to be honest, I wasn't sure it really mattered. So much of life seemed to depend on how you looked at it, and things were looking up. Soon, Logan and I would leave this place, and then no more commands, no more orders to do this or clean that, or no more beatings, no more reprimands. I was experiencing a little of that now, lying there in bed. I pulled a silver locket out from under my shirt, still damp from dishwater. It glowed blue in the dark, and taking hold of it, I knew nothing for a long time. Aurora did not show up at the gym the next day. Oh, this is scene shifts, by the way, and this is now Logan's perspective. So, unlike a lot of people, it wasn't like her to say she would be someplace and then not show up. So after working out myself for an hour, I decided to walk over to the pub to see her. The way out passed by the military graveyard, where I paused to think. As usual, I found myself getting irritated at King Darien for his treatment of the other Rangers. King Darien is the antagonist of this book, and the king that wanted Logan and his crewmates basically to go on this quest around the world. And the quest did not go well for the other Rangers, and King Darien really couldn't give a rat's rear, as is quoted in the book. So Logan is irritated at the king. And so Logan says, my nightmares had stopped after that last dream in Klax's castle, where the Seven Rangers had visited me, and I felt more at peace with the fact that they were gone and I had lived. Although I'd never been especially close to any of them, I trained with them, traveled with them, and fought with them till the end, and it seemed wrong to let their memories die. I'd been tossing around various ideas in my head, trying to have a shrine erected in the castle, getting their names etched into the existing Imperial Ranger monument in the military graveyard, stealing money from the treasure vault to send to their families, trying to somehow weasel a memorial into to the Seven Rangers into Darien's upcoming ceremony, but all required more resources and pull than I reasonably had. Besides, all those things seemed too impersonal. Frowning and shelving this quandary for another time, I turned towards town. It was about 4 in the afternoon by the time I reached the pub. I went in through the back entrance, thinking that that's where Aurora would be, getting ready for another night. But she wasn't there. I asked a few people who also worked in the kitchen if they'd seen her, and they all shrugged. Aurora? Oh, I suppose she's around somewhere, isn't she? And then I had an idea. I climbed the creaky steps that led to the room upstairs and walked down the hall to the room that was numbered 8. To my surprise, the door was ajar. I peered in through the crack, but it was too dark inside to see much. I knocked. No answer. I knocked again. Aurora? It's me, Logan, I said through the crack in the door. No answer inside except for a slight rustle from inside. I waited a bit, then shrugged and stuck my head in the door. There was Aurora, face down on the bed, the one arm trailing down on the floor, boots and dishwashing apron still on. She was asleep. I walked over and nudged her shoulder a few times. Nothing. I called her name, tried bouncing on the bed, and pushed her a few more times. Still nothing. She was almost impossible to wake up. After a while, I gave up and drew open the blinds. Sunlight flooded into the little room. I leaned against the wall and slid down to the floor to wait. The room was really hot. A fly beat limply against the windowpane, begging for cooler air. I got up, pushed the windows open, and watched the fly buzz off drunkenly. I sat back down to enjoy the breeze, and after a while, Aurora lifted her eyelids. Logan? She asked groggily after a bit. Where am I? She groans slowly, voice thick with heat and sweat. The question did not really beg an answer. Oh, probably in some tropical paradise floating in a crystal blue lagoon surrounded by back-flipping chimpanzees running ironing boards and eating sandwiches. Standard, really, I said and continued to amuse nonsensically until she threw some socks at me. She pulled the pillow over her head and groaned. The clock tower outside struck 5. She grunted something, then groaned again and sat up slowly. Her boots hit the floorboards with a thud. Sorry, I slept through the gym today, didn't I? I nodded. Long night? Yes. After a while, she said, the soldiers, they're back all night, eating and drinking, shouting and fighting, then eating more and drinking, and then drinking some more, and ugh. She flung up her hands, flopped down on the pillow, and covered her eyes with an arm. Then someone pulled a knife, someone else threw up. What was something? A mess. And tonight, ugh, more of the same. She drifted off again. The bed wasn't really big enough for 2 people, but I climbed over her and slid onto it next to her. I rested my head on part of the pillow unoccupied by Aurora's head and stared up at the ceiling. If the soldiers were back, that meant Darien would be having his ceremony soon. And that meant things would change, probably for the worse, and perhaps it'd be best if we moved on. I nudged Aurora with my arm. She nudged back but didn't open her eyes. 5 more minutes, she said slowly and softly. I smiled. A cool breeze blew in through the window. The winds of change were stirring, and it was time to jump on and let them carry us, for they held promise. Change of scenery, change of luck. Change could be good or bad, depending on how you looked at it. In fact, you probably could say that about most things, but I was an optimist. And so that's where we leave them for now, as they contemplate their future, or rather, Logan contemplates it, and Aurora tries to catch a few more minutes of sleep before she has to get up for her shift. And so for all those people who happen to be working today, or all those people who are off today, enjoy your day, get some rest, and hopefully you'll be better. You'll be ready to do it all again tomorrow. But know that the world functions better when you are doing your thing. So hats off to you. Enjoy your day. So happy Labor Day. You will find more about this podcast on the website, 13thhour.wordpress.com. That's 13thhr.wordpress.com. And more information about this podcast can be found there, as well as all the other past podcast episodes on iTunes. If you'd like to learn more about the 13th Hour, you can actually read a free demo copy of the book. It's about a third of the book, and has a number of the illustrations and things like that in it. And you can pick that up on the website free, and you'll get occasional mailings and things like that that tell you about giveaways and other freebies. So there's an upcoming 13th Hour soundtrack. These are songs and other original music that was made for the book, and so that'll be coming out in the next couple of months. So some exciting things happening. Stay tuned next week for another podcast on Monday, and then on the 19th, we'll be talking to George Soroy, who's a fellow author, about his creation of his own audiobook. So stay tuned, and have a good week. Talk to you later, and take care. Bye.